You are now tuned in to Sheriff Says.
I fixed it. And that's what's up. Just sit back, relax. I got the show for you. Yeah, yeah. Now here we go.
What's happening, people? I'm going to start this podcast off by talking about what I've been recently learning. So I've been looking into not the Bible, because the Bible doesn't have everything in it that it's supposed to have in it. Like the Book of Enoch, you know, all the Dead Sea Scrolls and everything like that, right? And it's not properly translated from Hebrew, because there is, how do you say, a lost in translation scenario going on, because it's translated into Greek, then into English. And there are some parts of the Bible that are, for lack of better words, put in there and just made up. You know, and there are some words or maybe even a phrase in there that you wouldn't find in the Hebrew Bible. Like, the only thing I'll say about it is that it says that men have breasts and produce milk. And that's not true. And that's not what the Bible, like what the real word of God says. So while looking into the Book of Enoch, because I've never actually sat down and tried to read the whole thing before, I got it into the first, I want to say 10 pages, I think. And the book that I'm reading this from comes from the link sepher.net. C-E-P-H-E-R.net. You can go there and order yourself a copy of it. I highly recommend it, because you will learn much more than you will learn in what's known as the quote-unquote traditional Bible, the New International Version, the Old Testament, the this, the that. It doesn't matter. Everything is in this book that was written in Hebrew and was found, and or was just archived even. Or they found it in an archive inside of a cave, you understand? That was well-preserved because it was inside of a cave. So, or at least as well as it could be preserved, because that's where they used to keep libraries, was in the caves, I'm recently finding out. So anyways, what I learned from this, I wrote down, cliff notes, I guess you could say, so I wrote notes down about what I was reading, because I wanted to kind of keep track of what all he was seeing, where he was going to see these things, and to just kind of figure this all out, you know what I mean? Because he gives the most, most in-depth description of what this all is. And, I mean, this was taken out of the actual Bible. You cannot find the Book of Enoch in the regular Bible. In the King James Version, none of that. You can see references to what he said, but you won't, like in Jude, but you won't find the Book of Enoch, the actual chapter, you know, his little book that he wrote about our surroundings, what heaven and hell is like, everything, how this all works, right? So yeah, of course, they took it out of the Bible, which is ridiculous, but okay, whatever. You wanna play that game? All right, we'll play it. Here we go. I saw your move made eons ago, and I'm gonna raise you what Enoch actually said. Now, in the end of this, I want to kind of put in there is a little bit of speculation, but there is only a tiny bit of speculation by me in there. Everything else is just a straight up observation of everything he said. And so I just kind of wanted to brief you on that before I jumped into this. And so now I'm going to start reading, but I wanted you to know what this was about and what we're about to get into, because I didn't want to just start reading and then you'd be like, what? So like I said, without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and start reading the notes about what the Book of Enoch says that they, quote unquote, they don't want you to find out. And by they, I mean the Antichrist, the devil clique. Winds guard the foundations of the earth. Stone supports the corners of the earth. Four winds bear up the earth and the expanse of heaven. The winds occupy the sky, and there are pillars of heaven. Winds turn the sky. They cause the orb of the sun and all stars to set. Winds support the clouds. There is a path to the angels. And angels is also translated as the word messengers. So keep in mind that when it talks about angels, it means messengers. And so that doesn't necessarily mean human, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean the crazy angel image that you have in your head. You know what I'm saying? But to just kind of simplify that, I've added the word messengers. So you understand that when I say angels, or if I ever say angels, you understand that this is just God's messengers, right? Now, they do great and wonderful and fantastical and magnificent, amazing things, right? And they are these amazing creations of God. And I want you to keep in mind, though, we are not to distort this image of whatever this messenger may or may not look like. They wrestle devils. They do wonderful things. But please do not confuse this angelic figure in your mind with what it really could be. Because you could get there to this path. You could meet the angels. And what they are could completely blow your mind compared to what is in your mind. Anyways, I just want to kind of clear the air there. So he goes to the west and he says, in the west, the earth and the... It's kind of hard to interpret here what he's trying to say, but he starts heading to the west and he mentions in the book that the earth and the expanse of heaven are extremities. So you know what that means. They are extremely unique from each other. So down here, it might be what you would call normal, and up there, it might be a jigsaw puzzle that fits together, but all the pieces are completely different. But it fits and it makes sense and it works in God's way, you understand? And this works here this way, but only because we are in the flesh, you understand? Remember, God and everything up there is not necessarily in the flesh. You see what I mean? But down here, we're in the flesh. And now I'm not trying to interpret these things for you, because I said there's little interpretation. I'm trying to explain how this works so you can fully understand the concept that Enoch is giving. And if for any reason you think I'm wrong, let me know on Twitter. Let me know on Corv. Reach out to me through email at President Trahan on all my social media, even Corv.com, C-O-R-R-I-V.com. Let me know. Let me know what you think about what I'm saying. I'm open to interpretation. But remember, I'm not trying to interpret this. I'm just trying to give you the message. So, from there, he goes south. And he sees six mountains with three different types of rock. One of these mountains reaches the throne. He describes these types of rock. But to me, for you to understand this, it's not important. These are technicalities, you understand? These are variables. But what I think is the most important of this, okay, so he says that he sees six mountains and they are three different types of rock. One reaches heaven and looks as if it's a throne. He says God has a throne and it's made of alabaster, which is a soft red pinkish stone with and the crown of the throne, so the top of the throne, is a sapphire top. He says, he looks over and there is blazing fire hanging over the mountains. He says, close to there are waters that were collected in an extended territory close to this blazing fire. You understand? An extended territory. So there's a mass amounts of water collected, as in 40 days and 40 nights water. And so here also above the mountains, we have this mysterious fire, okay? And in the Bible, in God's word, in the basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, it talks about they're raining fire and brimstone. Okay, so we've moved on, right? The interior of the columns of heaven are made of fire. That I wasn't sure of, but he said the insides. So I'm guessing it's like a glass outside that's see-through and there's nothing but fire in the middle. That's what I imagine. What if that's what it is? I don't know, because it's very hard to understand, but that's the closest I can come to what he says. So I'm just kind of going to take it as that until further notice. He says, a black void exists. Then says, there are seven stars in this black void of heaven, and they are like spirits. The black void is a prison for the stars and the host of heaven until heaven and earth consummate. There is a secret year, and this year, this is part of my speculation. This year is being kept secret because it is the return of God to earth. And I'll tell you why I think that in just one second. Because we're going to continue with the black void and the stars. The stars which roll over fire came too early. So I'm guessing that's the name of these seven stars. These are the stars which roll over fire. And they came too early and out of season and offended God. And this is their crime. He bound them for thousands of years at least. The moral? Do not transgress the commandment of God. He means business. There is a seemingly endless deep sea of fire in the skies, with which has a division in the midst of it all, with columns of fire. This place is terrible and difficult to explore. This is the prison of angels, and they are kept there forever. There is mass suffering in this area, so great that one cannot perceive it. Your souls are collected in the delightful place you were formed. But where the spirit of the sons of man dwell, that is where they await judgment. So the sons of man are the messengers who were told to keep watch by God and abandon their post to have sex with human women in the flesh and created the Nephilim and the Nephilim. I guess I said that right. I hope I said that right. The spirit of the sons of men who are dead are accusational and boastful, so loud that it can reach heaven. When you die and you don't receive judgment, your soul is split into three, thus separating you from the spirit of righteousness, that of which binds us together. This separation of the soul is by chasm, water, and light. And there is great sufferance until the time of judgment, castigation, and torment of those who eternally execrate, which means to speak eternal curses. They are punished and bound forever. Their souls will never arise from this, but also won't be annihilated in the day of judgment. Separation of souls starts with uttering complaints and ends with the destruction of man. We are among the day of sinners, but we must praise God, praise God. So then Enoch goes west to the extremities of the earth. He says, there is a blazing fire running towards the west. These are the luminaries of heaven. Near there is a mountain of fire flashing by day and night. Walking towards the mountain of fire, there are seven brilliant and beautifully stone mountains. These mountains are to the east and also to the south of there. They resemble the seat of a throne and trees surround them. God will sit here. You will not have the power to touch God's great and magnificently smelling tree, nor its beautiful fruit. That is, not until the time of judgment. While sinners are being punished, God will grant the power to share the fruit of this tree to the righteous and humble. This fruit is given to the elect of God. The air of this tree extends life, like our forefathers had experienced. Hundreds of years life expectancies. So these people who are the elect of God, they have no sorrow, distress, trouble, nor punishment. Then he goes on to describe what I would say is California and Nevada. And an angel says that those who curse God are collected in what he describes as California. Enoch describes this area, and it sounds like California. He confirms this. Now, here's the speculation. He confirms this by mentioning that to the east of these mountains, he describes that are next to a large body of water, he says, is a large desert. Enoch then further confirms that this could be California by describing the desert he sees surroundings. He describes it as Arizona, as having dew. And now, like I said, this is a speculation, and this is just reading it, you know, for the first time myself. And I will go back and look at it, but I mean, isn't it kind of funny that it just kind of seems like that? And then here you have the people that are in California that kind of seem like that. I mean, I'm just saying, like, they got Lucifer's Pizza there. And yes, we've talked about this in an earlier podcast. But anyways, so all the stars, they already have names, whether we name them or not, right? Like, they've already got names. They have regulations. They have operations. And there are several gates to heaven. Some the stars travel through. Some the sun and moon travel through. Some the winds travel through. But imagine we're in a dome, right? Because we've talked about this in a few more podcasts, you know, a few podcasts ago, you know, here and there. We've always talked about the firmament, the dome, right? Because it's in the Bible. It's described. It's hard. It's glass-like. And we haven't reached that part in the Book of Enoch yet. But you have a dome, and then you have gates to heaven that are all around the top of this dome. And there are gates that let the sun in and out. Like, so the sun and the moon travel through these gates. The stars come through these gates. The wind blows through these gates, right? And that's how the sun and moon come and go and rise and set somehow. And that's all I can understand of this so far. So, now that we're all caught up with this, I just kind of want to end this on a positive note to kind of get you thinking. What do you think about this? What do you think about what I told you? Don't talk to me about it. I mean, you could. You can email me if you want to. We can talk about it. But, you know what I'm saying? I want you to kind of ask yourself, because this is between you and God.